What a loyal servant to Christ. Let's give it up for Dale.
Good morning. Can you hear me? There's times that I haven't been able to hear the songs, the words of the songs, or the message. So I moved from the back to the front in hopes that it would help. And I'm not sure of that. I was taught to close my eyes when I prayed. And so, Lord Jesus, I come before you, and you are the God of the universe. You are the God of creation. Lord Jesus, you were there in creation, and I believe the creation story. I've traveled all over and looked at the geography, and it's very pretty the way you made this world. I thank you for that. Lord, I haven't been right all my life, and I've had to ask forgiveness many times. And so, thank you for being there to forgive me, and thank you for making me strong to go on, Lord Jesus. Please bless our time today. Amen. So I've got a couple of notebooks, and I've had some rewrites. But I was born in Boulder, and so I'm a native, right? My father was born in Boulder also, and the family house for my father was 2035 Arapaho, right across from, it was a schoolhouse called, was it Whittier? And now it's called Naropa. And so I don't think them Naropa guys love Jesus. That's a problem. But there was four brothers and four sisters, and it was a two-story house, and there was no heat in the upstairs where the kids slept. And Dad said in the winter mornings, it was really cold, and you could see frost on the roof trusses and the joists on the inside. And man, that would have been cold. And so his father was, he was injured in a cave-in at the Black Diamond Mine in Louisville, and it broke his back. So it was loss of income, and his wife had already gone to the crazy house, and they wouldn't let her out. Dad's father bought this bar at 14th and Pearl, and they called it the Lucky Inn. And all of the kids had to work there. And Dad's job was cleaning the spittoon buckets out, and they were quite nasty from the spit. And the girls waitressed, and they kind of held together and made it work. And so when I was born, boy, they said I was cute, I was good looking. Too bad I couldn't have remembered that. My first experience with church was at Calvary Bible Church at Broadway and Balsam and Broadway, and that was across from the old community hospital, and it was a kind of a small building, and they had some faithful, very faithful attendees, parishioners, and time went on, and so my grandmother was really involved with the Sunday school and church. And so was my mother, and I kind of grew up there. When I was 7 years old, I was baptized there with my favorite aunt, my Aunt Beth. And her and I was baptized together. I thought my troubles was over when my sins was washed away. I believe my troubles was over. But the next week, I ended up in the pastor's office for a lecture. And it felt like it was not pleasant. And I told him, I says, well, my sins is washed away. You gave me the dunk. That didn't work too well. I went to, we lived in Martin Acres. I went to Park Elementary School. And when I was in first, second, third grade, we went out to the flagpole every morning and prayed. And that kind of had an impact on me that the stuff I was trying to learn in church was true. I think it would be an answer to some of today's problems if every kid went out there in front of the flagpole and prayed today. I liked the first grade so well that I did it twice. So the alarming thing was it was the same teacher on the second go-round. By then she knew my number. So then they kind of pushed me on in the second grade. And you know what? That same teacher was the teacher of the second grade. I thought my life was over. Then I barely made it through there and on to the third grade. That same teacher followed me. Oh my. That was trouble. I wanted to be friends with the girl next door. She had a real pretty red pedal car, and she would not let me ride. So then after that, I went to Uni Hill, and it wasn't long and I was in trouble, and the teacher, Mrs. Kirkpatrick, suggested strongly that I stay an hour after school to relearn what they'd taught in class that day. So I had my first experience with watching everybody else go away, and Dale was still left there. And I did try to learn. And then on the fifth grade, I had a different teacher, and this teacher was Mrs. Gebhardt. And if you can remember back, her husband was a politician, and she would shut the lights off and give us breaking political news about her husband and turn the lights on. So I made it through there, and then we moved to north to off of J Road and 57th, and it was north, and so there was a lot of room, and there was a 1 acre yard there. And so that was good for Dale to have some room to move around and play. And then during that summer, my father told me that money grew on trees. I went around to the neighborhood. I climbed every tree in the neighborhood. My parents were getting calls, what's your kid doing in our trees? And I believed Dad. I believed that. And I climbed, I couldn't find a penny up there, let a dollar or a quarter. And pennies were big in our days. So that didn't work out. And so I went to work in the ag business, cleaning up after the horses, and it didn't pay well in the neighborhood. But at least it was something, and one job led to another job, and boy, I was rolling in the stank, I was rolling in the dough. And that was low pay in those days. I was substandard because I was young on the pay scale. And then so off to the sixth grade, and so I went to Columbine School on Glenwood Street, and they did a new test, and it was an open schedule. And on that open schedule, they had roll call in the morning, and then it was open classes till noon. So I ran, and yeah, there's days that I ran and hid, ran out on the playground, and made sure nobody was watching. And I'd come back at lunch, and they had roll call again. And then I'd go to the library for an hour and then take off. And that's when I started riding the pedal bicycle to school, because I could get out at, 12:45, quarter to one, 1 o'clock. And I didn't do that well in sixth grade. And I didn't, my education was, I kind of got behind with that schedule. And I just didn't have what it took to really buckle down and take advantage of that. And so off to the seventh grade I went. Well, the last day of the sixth grade, I was with the Fowler kid and the Stoltzfus. We put some hay bales up around the corner of where we lived, and then when that school bus come, we were laying for him. We threw a bunch of water balloons at him, and it hit the driver, and the driver went in the ditch. And he didn't crash it, but he went in the ditch, and I'm sure it scared him. And so, unfortunately, it was a corner at my house that happened, and so I never really got in trouble for it. But on the first day of the seventh grade, I went on to get on the school bus, and you know what? It was the same bus driver, and so I go running up in there, and he grabs me by the shirt, and he says, "Let the other ones by," and then he escorted me down the stairs. And he says, "You're on the blacklist for the bus." I says, "I never heard of that." And so then he quick and closed the door. And so he took off. And so I ran and jumped on the mirror. And he stops the bus and he goes, "You can't ride like that." And so I ran home and I got my bicycle. And I rode the bicycle to school. And so it went on the next day, and so it was determined I just wasn't riding the bus. I was providing my own transportation after that. And that has some perils in the wintertime. And and it seemed like a long way to school. It was probably 3.5 miles. And boy, it was cold. So, I've already skipped over some stuff. When I was in elementary school on November 22nd, 1963, I told my mother the president was shot. She took me in the bathroom and washed my mouth out with soap for lying. And, then I went back to school, and that tasted well, huh? So, up the street there was a guy named Jack Fowler, and he had a real estate company and sold real estate in the Boulder area. And Crossroads was still just a field then, and there was cows out there and horses out there, and Boulder was a different place. It was in amongst the big... They were kind of riots, and the Rainbow People were already here. And the Rainbow People promoted love and drugs and bad stuff. And they'd take over your property and break in, and they didn't like to work a lot or earn anything. And so, but there was a guy up the street named Jack Fowler, and he was a realtor, and he had a barn up there. And one day I was out there with him and his boy John, and he had an AC arc welder, old 220 AC arc welder, and he was kind of showing me how it worked. And I says, "Man, you're not very good at this." And he says, "Well, are you? And I says, "Well, I never done it." But he let me have it, and that was the first time I ever really welded. And I caught on pretty good, and it turned out that was an absolute necessity to keep the mini bikes running. By then I'd had a mini bike with a rope start and a steel frame and rope start, and man, I appreciated that. And there was a lot of days that I rode it back and forth to school. And then I knew a guy, and I shoveled out the horse extract, but I hid the mini bike there because it wasn't allowed on the school property. And so I'd get up there, and then I'd hide it. And then after school, I'd shovel the property out and hop back on and go home. And so that kind of intrigued me, the whole metal thing. And there was a pretty good size steel pile not too far from where I lived. And you could go pick out what you wanted and try and shape it and form it. And so those, I built a go-kart, and the mini bike was already there. And so then we were in seventh grade, and I was kind of behind in classes because I didn't learn enough in the sixth grade. And so, boy, it was a struggle in seventh grade. And then in the eighth grade, in gym class in the winter time, they had basketball sometimes, and then they had boxing the other times. And boxing class, you could get whacked pretty good. And so I knew who those guys was. And so when it was my turn, I went out there and I just ran and attacked and got some real good whacks in before it started whacking back. And I did the same tactic with my brother. And he was older and hard to fend off. So then the Fowler and the Stoltzfus, they apparently told their mother some wrong information, and their mothers drove them to school. And I still had to provide my own transportation. And I was starting to understand about being jealous then. Them riding in the car, and they'd wave at me as they went by, and I'd already been there for quite a while. So in the ninth grade, they had a science class, and I just did not understand that at all. And right away, I was in trouble, and I knew it. And so I bargained with that teacher. I says, "Listen, I'll show up here an hour early every day if you'll give me a passing grade at the end of the year." And I did. I showed up there every day and never missed a early. And then I was there an hour early, and then class was right after that. And so, man, I pray it helped. I still wonder these days. And so it got easier at the end of junior high. I started working at this gas station on Elder and Broadway. And I think I was in the tail end of the eighth grade there. And then I'd ride that mini bike to school, and I'd ride it down to the gas station and back home. And I didn't get back home until 9:30 or 10 o'clock, so my days was full. And it wasn't long that because I got educated twice in first grade, I was 16 in junior high, and I was already working at that gas station. I already had bought my own car. It was a Ford Comet. And I had to tape blocks of 4x4 wood on the brake pedal and the clutch and sit on a pillow. And I was driving that car before I had a driver's license. And then I told my mother, I says, on the day for 16, will you go with me and help me get my driver's license? And she did. So I got the driver's license, and that was important. Then I had a way around legally. And I had some run-ins with the laws because I was riding in the ditch and not really on the road, and the police told me they didn't like that. And I says, hey, listen, you go down to the schoolhouse and talk to them. This is my only transportation. So when I went to work at the gas station, it wasn't too long, this guy, this fast talker started hanging around. And so he came in late. He came in late when I'd come in the afternoon. And I says, well, you always show up to late like this, to work late? And he goes, yeah. And I talked to them other guys, the mechanics there. They specialized in working on Volkswagens. And they were pretty busy, because back in the 70s, Volkswagens was big in Boulder with all the hippie movement and the buses and... there was just all kinds of things. And North Broadway was... It was not the greatest part of town. And so, you know, like I said, the Rainbow people were in there, and they came to the gas station to get their Volkswagens worked on, and you were around quite a few of them people. So I was at the gas station, I met this guy, and so then he finally admitted that his other job was a pastor. And so he was a pastor of the Four Square Church. And of course he was working on me, so I'd start attending his church. And his compassion and love won me over, and I had stopped going to Calvary Bible Church there. There was some trouble in the youth group at Calvary Bible. And so I stopped going there, and then so I ended up going to the Four Square Church, and that was a huge influence on my life. And I did I was in the youth group, and he was just a wonderful, influential pastor for me. I was really kind of learning about Jesus. And so when I was in the first year of junior high, I went down and I bought a brand new Volkswagen Bug. And so I had a dependable car. And I was a hit with all the young ladies and the youth group. And so some years ago, our friend Roger Barone attended here. And he had two young, very attractive daughters. And Roger informed me to stay away from his daughters. I just can't imagine why. And so at church picnics and outings and work days, and Roger would let you know how he felt to Dale. And maybe it was, I wasn't being quite right. But I was young and that was excusable, right? And my sins was forgiven. So things was going along in high school, and high school, I ran into there was a shop class. Old Ed Bolstrom was a teacher, and so absolute necessity, because Jack Fallard ran me off. My welding business was open until he got home, and he said I was using up all his electricity, and he didn't want me around, so I closed down. And so his wife kind of knew that, and she'd run out to the barn and says, my husband's coming home. And then so she felt bad because I didn't get the ride to school. And so she'd run out there and say, well, you know, my husband's coming home, so it's time for you to go home. And so I'd close the shop. Which was actually his place, and my father wouldn't let me have the 220 plug. I suggested moving the dryer out many times to use the 220 plug, and I'd actually earned enough money. I bought an old buzz box, and I had it hid under the tarp, and then one day Dad found that, and he says, well, what's that? I said, well, it's a welding machine. And he says, well, how much electricity does that take? I says, Dad, I need 220. And he says, you don't need that at my house. And that kind of, boy, it broke my heart. So I was working along and had my own car, and I worked at Senor Miguel's, being a dishwasher, and then at the gas station. I kind of got a little bit better at the gas station, and they moved me up with money, and then it was back to the bikes, and so I saved up enough money and bought a brand new Yamaha, and that was good. That was very good. I really liked it. And so it wasn't long. I got a trailer hitch on that car, and then bought a trailer, and you could. They were dirt bikes, not really too licensable. And so at the end of high school, you know, I was attracted to shop class. And so Bolstrom says, well, you need to go to Votech. And so I went out there and checked it out, and they had an auto thing, and then they had a welding thing. And the guy at the gas station wanted me to take the auto deal. But I ended up in the welding class, because that really interested me. And so I was in the welding class the last year of high school, and my mother and dad says, things are going to be different than your brother when you go to college. And you're going to have this restriction and that restriction. Well, my brother went to college in Greeley, and I went up there, and they have a couple old refrigerators with hole drills in them for the keg of beer for the straw to come out. They weren't really attending class, and a monkey was up in the ceiling fan, and the monkey'd ride around when you turn the ceiling fan. And so his education was 1 year. He failed out, and then he moved out because the pressure of his dad was great for the loss of dad's money. So, you know, they says this and this. And so I got out of Votech, and that guy says, well, you know, you could really go far if you went to community college. And so I went up there and I checked it out, and it was over in West Golden and Red Rocks. And so I went to, 2 weeks out of high school, I started going to welding class at a community college. And I mean, this was the real thing now. This wasn't Votech. They had a couple of pretty good teachers there, and they had a whole slug of welding machines. And So I went to school for a year. You know, I went to summer school, fall, winter, and spring. And I walked out of there, and I was certified in plate. I was certified in pipe. And I had 5 or 6 certifications. And so I was kind of friends with this one girl at the church. And so she and her sister went to community college, and they were a year older. Well, they were in the right year, where I was behind a year. And so they'd gone to there for 2 years. And so their name was Teal, and my name's Santarelli. So at graduation time, I didn't say a thing about it, because they were kind of discouraged at how far I was advanced and how long it took them. And so they called my name up there, and I went up there, and of course S is for T, and I got the diploma, you know, and they go, man, this kid's got a 4.0 average. And so I got the diploma, and I knew where her dad was, and her dad looked, and his forehead wrinkled, and both eyes was open, and about dropped his teeth out. And so afterwards, when I met up with her, you could tell that she was disappointed. But things went along, and I went to work in Golden. A guy was working on conveyors in the gravel yard in Golden, and so I got a job, and this guy had a great big Kenworth semi flatbed, and he had a couple of gas welders on it, and so we just worked in the parking lot, and over in the corner was a big pile of rubble. I mean, a big pile. And so this other guy, we got behind, and he hired this other guy, and we were working, and this other guy says, well, what's that pile of rubble over there? And the boss, you know, he just lit up with the profanity, and he just flush red lit up, and he was kind of hard to get along with. And so it turned out that pile of rubble is, he took the Kenworth out and went out on the job to work on the conveyor. And so the guy he had working for him, one of his friends came by. He welded on a gas tank, and that's why the building was a pile of rubble. And so I didn't last there long. It was a long drive up and down 93, and so I went on to greener pastures working around. And I went back to the same school, and I says, listen, I need to brush up on the aluminum. And so I practiced up, and then I went down to Beech Aircraft, and I got a job welding the aircraft parts for the Beech Aircraft. And so working along, and I loved it, clean sit-down welding. I'd never had it that good, you know, inside. And so they got slow, and so they sent me over there, and so they says, well, hold on to here and press here. And so the guy was drilling from the inside, and he drilled a hole right through my thumb. You could see the drill bit coming out spinning. So I pulled it off. And I pulled it off, and I you know, hollered at him. I says, well, you know where I was holding, you told me to. And he goes, yeah. And I realized that, so I went around and cuffed him pretty good. And so that was the end of my Beech Aircraft career. So my dad wanted me to go to work for him. He did the floor coverings. And he was in a partnership, And he'd put in ceramic tile, quarry tile. He was the first guy that did a piece of formica in the city of Boulder. And he cut it on a table saw. And then after that, he learned how to score it and peel it. And so he wanted me to go to work for him. And so the trouble with working for Dad was my brother was there. And I had to stay underneath my brother as far as the wages. And so even at the gas station, I earned more money than what Dad had paid me, because it was a political situation that my brother was older and he had to get more. And so I tried to stay away from my father, but he did send me to Armstrong School, and in the class, the teacher says, "Gentlemen, get your knives." And we butcher up a full roll of brand new linoleum like it didn't cost any money. And so he's walking like we're out of
time. That's right. We're going to bring you back for part two.
So in the end, I learned enough about Jesus that Jesus is my Savior. Amen. He's my soon-coming King. And I think he's going to be here very quick. The way the world is the way the U.S. is going, I think he's going to be here very quick. So I still believe in him.
Amen. Hallelujah.